From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
The establishment is terrified of that word, socialism. But if we learned one thing from the Obama years, it's that Republicans are going to call us socialists no matter what we do. So we might as well give them the real thing.
Yeah, the real thing. That's what you've got right here on Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And folks, friends, you have got me all week as Tony takes some needed time off with his family. I am here today, tomorrow, all the way through Friday, bringing you the news that you're probably not hearing in a lot of other places. That was Cynthia Nixon, actress and New York gubernatorial candidate. What's going on with the Democratic Party's embrace of socialism? We're going to hear all about it here in just a little bit. In the center of many dinner parties and coffee houses across the country is which way is the pendulum going to swing? Well, you know how wrong the polls were the last time. It's going to be a blue wave as we're hearing about it, or is it going to be a red wave? We're going to talk with Kayleigh McEnany here in just a minute. She's a national spokesperson for the Republican National Committee. She'll be here in just a moment. And police report that a violent weekend in Chicago has left 12 people dead and dozens more wounded. What is at the root of the horrific crisis in this great American city? We'll talk with Dr. Eric Wallace of Freedom's Journal Institute, based in Chicago. And the left wants to say those attracted to same sex can't change. And even in California, liberal lawmakers are wanting to pass a law that penalizes those who say change indeed is possible. How is government ideology overshadowing your freedoms? Ken Williams, who came out of the homosexual lifestyle, will be here later in the show. He's co-founder of Equipped to Love and a pastor at Bethel Church in Redding, California. Well, we've seen it for years, but is the Democratic Party formally swinging towards socialism? And Troy Balderson, a two-term Republican state senator, is working to retain GOP control in the 12th district. He faces Democrat Danny O'Connor, the Franklin County recorder. Joining us now is Kayleigh McEnany. She's no stranger to Washington Watch. She's the national spokesperson for the Republican National Committee. Kayleigh, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Russ. Great to join you. Thanks for having me again.
Well, thanks so much. You have got a great op-ed on Fox News. Explain to our listeners why you felt the need to write about this socialism movement that's going on.
Well, there's an unmistakable trend in the Democratic Party towards socialism. You just played that clip from Cynthia Nixon that expresses that quite clearly. Of course, we know about Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, avowed socialists with a lot of popularity within the party. And, you know, there's a lot more disturbing information on top of that, like 35% of Democrats wanting a socialist to replace Nancy Pelosi. That's quite striking. That's a third of Democrats, more than that. And, you know, right now there are 42 candidates running with the endorsement of the Democratic Socialist Party. And apparently they attend meetings and this Democratic Socialist Party call one another comrade. It's pretty incredible the links that they're going through to really embrace socialism. And we see this within the Democratic Party, this unmistakable advance toward an ideology that's failed everywhere it's tried. Cuba, Soviet Union, China, India, after and post-independence, Israel in their first few decades. It's failed wherever it's tried. Nevertheless, Democrats want to bring it here.
And you know, Kayleigh, I dug up some audio from long-lost, acquaintance Hillary Clinton. Remember, it's been a few weeks ago, she shared some things at the Shared Value Leadership Summit in New York City. Well, let's just let Hillary say a few things about socialism.
You may be the only presidential candidate since World War II that actually had to stand up and say, I am a capitalist. and you did. Did it hurt you?
Probably. I mean, you know, it's hard. It's hard to know. But I mean, if you're in the Iowa caucuses and 41% of Democrats are socialists or self-described socialists, and I'm asked, are you a capitalist? And I say yes, but with appropriate regulation and appropriate accountability, you know, that probably gets lost in the, oh, my gosh, she's a capitalist.
Kayleigh, she's admitting it right there. There's great evidence.
Yes, she is admitting it. And, you know, I think that it's really important to listen to what Hillary said right then. And this is one of the few times I'll agree with Hillary, that probably does damage you to say you're a capitalist in a Democratic primary because of how strong and overwhelming this far left socialist strain is. And, you know, make no mistake about it, those who are not saying out loud, I'm a socialist, just look at the policies they support. I mean, the Democratic Party, single payer, when Bernie proposed it back in 2013, he had zero co-sponsors. Now he has a third of Senate Democrats and two-thirds of House Democrats. And, you know, basically every single policy from free college to government-mandated wage to jobs for all of these policies went from zero co-sponsors to a handful, if not a third, of the Democratic caucus. So that's pretty striking. So even if you're not a socialist in name, a lot of these Democrats are socialists in action.
You know, Kaylee, over my 40 years of being in the media and ministry elements during my lifetime, I've actually been to a number of some pretty dicey places, including Cuba. And I wish this generation could just see it for themselves. There's no such thing as a trickle-down economy in a place like Cuba. These people are living so desperately, but yet they're joyful at the heart of it, but they're living so desperately in this socialist environment that was supposed to help everybody. But I just don't get it, where the millennials are being so attracted to this. Can you help explain?
Yeah, it's difficult to explain or to understand. And, you know, Venezuela is a place that not too long ago, Bernie Sanders' campaign website, or rather a Senate website, praised. And here in Venezuela, of course, we know the direction is gone, where people are literally fleeing starvation. They have no toilet paper. That is how bad it is. No food, and they're fleeing. So, you know, the logical endpoint of socialism is destruction, disaster, dictators rise to power. This is socialism. But what some of these millennials, and I'm a millennial, but I haven't been caught up in this, although a number of my peers have, is they get caught up in the notion that we're not talking about Venezuela or Cuba. We're talking about Sweden, Denmark, the Nordic countries. But they miss it entirely when they say that, because Denmark is a good example. There, the middle class cannot afford cars. There's a 181% tax on new cars. So literally, you have a middle class that can't purchase cars. And you look over at Sweden, where basically one of their only famous entrepreneurs, the founder of IKEA, had to leave because of, you know, onerous taxation. So even these examples of so-called democratic socialism, they don't work. The job creators leave, the population suffers, and we see it in every single country. But millennials, a lot of them are getting caught up in the trap.
And you mentioned Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who, of course, won in New York. She's actually 1 year younger than my oldest child, my son. Let's remind our listeners, listen to what she had to say on Meet the Press.
The definition of democratic socialism to me, again, is the fact that in a modern, moral, and wealthy society, no American should be too poor to live. And to me, that means every working-class American in this country should have access to dignified health care, should actually be able to see a doctor without going broke. It means you should be able to send your kids to college and trade school if they so choose. And no person should feel precarious or unstable in their access to housing as our economy develops.
How do you sell this to an older generation?
Democrats are a big tent party. You know, I'm not trying to impose an ideology on all, you know, several hundred members of Congress. But I do think that, once again, it's not about selling an ism or an ideology or a label or a color. This is about selling our values.
Are you a democratic socialist? Is that what you call yourself, or you don't want that label?
It's part of what I am. It's not all of what I am. And I think that that's a very important distinction. I'm an educator, I'm an organizer, and I believe that what we're really seeing is just a movement for healthcare, housing, and education in the United States.
Yeah. Kaylee, line number one, the Democratic Party is a big tent party. That's an alternate universe ideology for me there.
That is an alternate universe ideology, as is about everything that she says. Which sounds great. Look, it sounds great. Single payer health care, free college. The problem is it doesn't work. You know, single payer health care, you look over at Canada, where literally 63,000 women have died waiting for care. That's one academic study found. The UK, the BBC said there are 9,000 deaths a year because of mistakes by the NHS. And free college, you know, Britain tried this. They tried it but had to reintroduce tuition. Government-mandated wage, the Washington Post even reported that ended up costing workers more than it helped them, because if people would cut jobs, cut hours, no longer hire. So it ended up costing workers about $125 more than it did help them. So, you know, it's just each of these ideas have failed, not to mention the price tag. That's something we don't even talk about, the trillions that would be needed just to fund these programs. It doesn't work, but facts are of no moment. These Democrats, like Ocasio-Cortez, are operating off of emotion.
Right. Well, real quickly, just in our few minutes remaining, let's jump up to Ohio. Big week in the Buckeye State. And you know, the NCAA is trying to cast President Trump as a racist. There's just no way to say it. We had Dr. Alveda King on the other day. She was part of the roundtable of urban leaders in the White House last week. You talk with people like her and others, and they just say it's just quite the contrary, and they're trying to set this whole stage up here in the midterms.
That's exactly right. Now, Alveda King, she's such a great woman. I always love hearing what she has to say. But those who are saying that, I mean, it's just demonstrably false. I mean, President Trump is a man back when he was just a businessman. He was the first to open his club in Mar-a-Lago to Jews and to African Americans. He has a history of not racism, quite the opposite of it, doing things to better race relations. And then to today, where we see historically low Black and Hispanic unemployment. At that forum you mentioned that Alveda King was a part of, you had an African-American pastor say there's been no president better for Black men and women in this country. And people are recognizing the media is just telling an absolute lie. And that's why President Trump's approval rating, according to Rasmussen, among African-American individuals doubled from 15% last year to 29% this year. So, you know, those numbers tell the story. People are winning under the Trump presidency.
And what's the ground game looking like in Ohio?
Yeah, we have a lot of people on the ground, not to mention volunteers on top of the paid staff that we have on the ground. We've invested a lot in this race, and we think that we'll pull it off in the end. But everyone needs to show up and vote, because ultimately turnout is what this is going to come down to. This is a special election in the middle of the summer, a lot of folks on vacation. So it's important, no matter where you are, if you're in Ohio, show up, vote, and get it done.
Well, Kaylee, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here on Washington Watch. You always bring a great deal of information, and appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, Russ. Have a great day.
All right. That's Kaylee McEnany. She's the national spokesperson for the Republican National Committee. And you know, folks, politics is just all over the place. You go into a coffee shop, you go to some, you know, I was out the other night, some friends invited us over for dinner, and folks are really concerned and got their minds on politics. And they quietly are talking about it, though, because the vitriol and the incivility is so severe that folks are just finding it difficult to talk about basic political issues and legislation and what is best for the nation without having a major confrontation going on. So, you know, this is a platform on Washington Watch where we can engage in the issues with a civil tone and civil discourse. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. And all of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. The show is powered by the Washington, D.C. Washington Family Council. It's great to be with you. Coming up next, Dr. Eric Wallace. All of this violence and shooting in Chicago, I know you've been seeing it. He's going to be here in just a moment to give us an update about what some answers might be, and they don't lie in the political legislative platform. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Washington Watch.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
These shootings are not random. They are fueled by gang conflicts. We know who they are, and we continue to send a message that it's okay to commit these crimes by not doing anything as a community. We are all supposed to be on the same side. CPD can be better, but this city can be better.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You've heard about this violence undoubtedly by now in Chicago. Chicago police said a total of 66 people were shot from 6 p.m. Friday to midnight on Sunday. 12 of those victims have died. Mayor Rahm Emanuel and Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said more needs to be done, as you just heard from the police chief, and the city can be better. But how so? Are they addressing the real issues? Joining us now to help answer that question is Dr. Eric Wallace, Freedom's Journal Institute, located in the greater Chicagoland area. Dr. Wallace, thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you for having me, Russ.
Well, I have been to your great city a number of times, and I do say a great city. It's one of our nation's great cities, great places to go, lots going on there. Tell us, from your perspective, you know, a lot of times we see lawmakers try to fix things from a legal perspective, a law perspective. Give us your take.
Oh, man. My take is that one of the things that they're not looking at is the, obviously, the whole spiritual aspect. That you know, what's going on here in Chicago is it was a perfect storm, if you will, of a number of different issues. There may be some legal thing that they may be able to do. I was, you know, looking at what happened in New York with the, you know, broken windows, whole idea about policing. But you also have, you know, the spiritual and moral issues that are going on in the city that nobody is talking about. I mean, a number of the pastors want to march. You know, Father Flager had some kind of march, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and then there was one, I think, last week, where they were marching and shut down one of the thoroughfares in Chicago. But marching to change laws isn't going to change anything. We need to change the hearts and the minds of those folks who are committing these crimes. And they want to talk about, you know, gun violence as if the guns are running around and shooting people. It's people shooting people. And we need to be able to minister to them and get them to have a heart transplant, if you will, through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well, how do you see taking back these neighborhoods? And just give us an update. I know you are connected with people that are trying to address this.
Well, there's number of things that are going on. Actually, right now as we speak, there are a number of churches actually that have come together and have been praying for the city of Chicago and trying to do things in the community. There's a thing out right now called Jesus Summer, and where it started, oh, I forget what date it started, but it's supposed to go through, it's like 40 days of trying to do stuff in your neighborhood, praying for folks, standing out on the street corner and praying, things like that, that they're trying to do to bring about change in the city. But one of the things I've advocated for, and have been talking to a couple of my minister friends, pastor friends about, is actually coming together and having like a Promise Keeper type movement, if you will, coming together in one of the like Soldier Field, and coming together, and the church is coming together to repent. Because a lot of what happened, in my opinion, is because the church hasn't been the church, hasn't stood up and been the church. We've allowed things to happen in Chicago that we shouldn't have allowed. We've allowed political folks to be in office who don't care about the people and that live in their communities, and they're putting together policies that are terrible. Matter of fact, there's one that's coming up. Somebody has proposed to paying people, I forget what they're calling it, some kind of, it's not a minimum wage, but it's a standardized income for everybody. And it's such a dumb idea that, I mean, we don't even understand the unintended consequences that are going to happen with kind of stuff. So, and clearly they don't understand human nature.
Well, so, Dr. Wallace, wouldn't you... maybe you can say just a little bit. At the root of this, the gangs create a family environment, so to speak, very dysfunctional family. But the fatherlessness in our culture today is very strong. And abortion, the genocide of Black Americans and Black babies across the country is huge. And doesn't that cast a spirit of disparage over people and causing them to look for something in all the wrong places?
Absolutely. Human life is not valued at all, and we've kind of lost a moral compass. We don't have that anymore. I mean, we've thrown out the whole idea that we've been created in the image of God, and so we just hear by chance. I mean, evolution is the ideology of the day, and that, you know, we're just here by chance. And if we can throw away life through abortion, and if we can, say that human life doesn't count for anything, it's not created in the image of God, it's here by chance, then why should we care? Why should we care about human life then if it's not created by God? And if there's no moral authority, we've thrown that out as well. Like I said, there's no moral compass. Then, you know, some of what's going on, you could pretty well expect some of what's going on. So there needs to be a change in the church first, in my opinion.
Right.
That means to fall on our face and repent before God. And then call on the Holy Spirit to do this. This is demonic, in my estimation, what's happening in Chicago. The gang violence that's taking place, the lack of fathers, the economic depression that's going on. Some of that is also coming from government policy, public policy, because public policy matters. And like I said, that's why it's a perfect storm, if you will, that has kind of destroyed some of the areas in Chicago and made them rampant for evil.
And, you know, we've been watching what's going on in Chicago for a while, but I think the numbers that came out over the weekend just, oh, my goodness. I have heard a lot of folks.
I've seen even worse numbers, because after we got off the phone earlier today, I looked, and they've got even higher numbers, like 75 people have been shot.
Right.
So have been wounded. So those numbers keep changing. I don't know if they'll continue to go up or what, but it's one of the worst weekends that Chicago's had in a long time.
And the leaders say that the shootings are actually down by some 17% this year, but it's still too many. Dr. Wallace, we are out of time. Where can folks find you on the internet?
FreedomsJournalInstitute.org. FreedomsJournalInstitute.org is our website.
Well, Dr. Wallace, thank you so much for your work in Chicagoland, and just know you have got folks all over the country now praying for you and your city. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here on Washington Watch. Well, coming up next, you've heard us talk about it, AB 2943 in California, this potential bill that could get you penalized even in jail for trying to help folks attracted to the same sex. Well, Ken Williams, he was in that lifestyle, but he came out. He's proof. He's co-founder of Equipped to Love. He's going to be here in just a moment when we return. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Rush Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
It's Monday. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Well, you've heard us talk about it here before. It's still a major issue. Now, if passed, AB 2943 in California states that advertising offering to engage in or engaging in sexual orientation change efforts with an individual is illegal under the state's consumer fraud law. And we're hearing an amendment could surface from the lower chamber of the California Assembly. Maybe, maybe not. But with us now is Ken Williams. He's co-founder of Equipped to Love, and he's one of the pastors at Bethel Church in Redding, California. Ken, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Well, before we get into this topic, you are out there in the middle of a bunch of wildfires. Just give us a real brief update. How you doing? How's it going out there?
Well, I'm one of the really fortunate ones. I did not lose my home, but I have many friends who have lost everything in those fires as it encroached actually into the city of Redding. The firefighters and just the local people and people from all across the country really are coming in, helping us fight it, ground is being gained. It's obviously a very difficult time for our city, and so you see the good and the bad, but God is definitely, there are plenty of stories out there of the help that He's giving us and enabling people to do things that they didn't know they could do. So we're grateful
right.
for well, everyone.
I know our listeners appreciated that update, and yet there's political wildfires as well, and Ken, you have got quite a story, and this issue about AB 2943 really touches home to you. Just share with our listeners a bit of your story, and then let's talk about the impact of it to organizations in the state.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, when you talk about the issue of gender confusion or homosexuality, it's deeply personal. So, you know, that is my story, is of having come out of same-sex attraction and some homosexual behavior. And I had that from early childhood. So my very first sexual desires were for other males. I was not sexually attracted to females. And it was deeply devastating for me. I was raised in a Christian home, and I believe that the Bible indicated that homosexuality was sinful behavior. And so I didn't want that, yet that is the only sexual desires I had. And that is a very common place that people find themselves. It's a rare person that decides, oh, I think I'll try to be rebellious. But things happen in our lives, or there could be all kinds of different factors or causes, but people find themselves with sexual desires that they may not have asked for. And the sad thing, though, is that there's a narrative being touted in the entertainment industry and in government, just, you know, in pop culture, really, that says that people cannot change. But that's really not the truth. There are plenty of people who have left homosexuality, transsexualism, bisexuality, and have moved on, have in many cases gotten married to a member of the opposite sex, and have kind of left that part of their lives behind with the help of the Lord and a supportive church in many times. And like, that's my story. I didn't have any sexual attraction for the opposite sex until my early 30s. But I've been married for 12 years to my wife. Our 12-year anniversary is a week from now. We have 4 little children and love wife, but it's not true that people can't change. That's the message of the gospel, is that when Christ comes into our lives, we are a new creation. And so all manner of change is possible for people.
And isn't that at the heart of AB 2943? It's really an attack on the gospel. It's attack on restoration, and that's your story. So this really, now you have an organization, your co-founder of Equipped to Love, and this truly has the opportunity to impact what you do, doesn't it?
It does. And so I'm mildly concerned from that standpoint, because obviously I want to, I gave up my 6-figure job many years ago to become a pastor and try to help people come out of the kind of pain and confusion that I found myself in all through my early life. And, but if this bill would hinder anyone from being able to really offer that kind of help, it basically will remove from society the notion that people can change and can leave homosexuality. So it is a deep infringement into freedom of speech, into freedom of religion. It basically mandates, according to the state of California, you may not interpret scripture to say that homosexuality is not sanctioned by God. That it will remove those options, because anyone, you won't even be able to see a professional counselor. So there are so many out there who find themselves with certain sexual desires that they don't want to live out, and they're looking for help. This would remove options for counseling. And we believe that people should have the freedom in America to pursue whatever counseling goals that they want, or make any personal life changes that they want. So it's a deep infringement in our freedoms in America.
In a matter of fact, the bill would make it a criminal offense to anyone presenting an option other than same-sex attraction. Ken, we're up against a hard break. Do you have time to stay with us and come back?
I'd love to.
All right. We're talking with Ken Williams, co-founder of Equipped to Love, and we're talking about AB 2943 in California, a bill that would criminalize people that offered help and therapy and resources to folks that are making decisions about same-sex attractions and trying to find help and discernment and whatnot. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. All of this great content is on TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins, or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Well, rounding third, heading towards home. It's Monday. Happy Monday. Russ Jones here sitting in for Tony Perkins. Folks, you've got me all week. Tony's on some time off with his family and being in the trenches. You know, being in the trenches takes a toll on you after a while, and you just need time to regroup and refresh and get ready for the battle and stand in the gap. And I know if you listen to Washington Watch, I know you know that the Family Research Council stands in the gap. And I am surrounded by so many talented individuals who are watching policy, who are meeting with lawmakers, who are standing with pastors, who are giving pastors and churches tools and resources to teach on these difficult issues and these cultural issues, and giving them the tools that people in the pews need, frankly, to have a reasoned, biblically based conversation. And that's what we're doing right now. We're talking with Ken Williams. He's co-founder of Equipped to Love and one of the pastors at Bethel Church in Redding, California. Ken, thanks for holding on. Now, we were just talking about how if passed, this bill would criminalize someone who tried to, if it was seen out through the fullest extent of the law, criminalize folks like yourself for trying to help people. And we're hearing now that maybe out of the lower chamber in the assembly in California, the legislature there is called the Assembly, that some kind of olive branch kind of amendment could be coming out. But we don't know if that's true. We don't know if it's even going to come to a vote. Can you bring us up to date on that?
Yes, we have heard those same rumors as well. But all of the influencers that I'm connected with that are helping to try to strike down this bill, none of us are willing to accept any kind of an amendment. When you're talking about taking away people's freedom of choice, because you understand when you're me, if this was your life, to have government coming in and saying you may not get any help. I mean, the help that I got, the counselor that I found way back in 1990 when I first came out and was public with my struggle, saved my life. It was that counseling that kept me alive and that gave me hope, because I didn't want to live out those sexual desires. There weren't any books I could find in that day that gave me hope, but I did find a counselor who helped walk me toward freedom. So You know, an amendment, I'm sorry, when you're taking away someone's right to an adult to choose whatever therapy that they want, that is such an overreach, and it's going to be unconstitutional. The Supreme Court is making it clear, even in recent cases, that this kind of sanctioning of people's choices with counseling and free speech, it's not constitutional. Supreme Court has even made that clear. So, this bill must be defeated.
And if you're listening and in California, I know we have a lot of listeners in California, on TonyPerkins.com, and also I believe, Ken, you mentioned AB2943.com, but FRC has put together action bullet points, and you need to call your lawmaker and let them hear your voice. And this is this is for California residents only. You've got to live in California, but the talking points there that can help you drive home that this is not good, because what happens, Ken, in California, don't we see it all the time? It finds a way of weaving through the rest of the United States.
It does, Russ, and it's already happening. There's already legislation like this being proposed, even I hear passed in one state. So this is something that I understand that so many church people maybe want to try to not be political and all that, but I got to tell you, with the types of laws that are being proposed in many states right now, it's frightening, because you're talking about being unable to protect your children. You're talking about your children being exposed to things that you do not want them to be exposed to, even at a young age. And these laws are sneaking through without the church even being aware that they're going on. So it really is time for everyone in the nation to start that has a heart for God's, values, to really start vocalizing those to their state lawmakers, because we don't want to live in an America where we don't have the freedom to live out our personal convictions.
Well, Ken, I pastored back in the day for about 15 years, went to seminary, and now I'm, a parishioner in the pew. And if you're a pastor out there, let me tell you, doing what I do for a living, and when I go and sit in a chair and hear great worship music, but then I don't hear any time I don't expect it every Sunday, Ken, but when I consistently don't hear a message that's attacking or giving tools on these issues where it literally is, like you said, an issue of life and death, I get really, really frustrated. And then we've got, I'm in a church with a bunch of kids. I mean, a bunch of college kids and high school kids. And they're seeing this stuff all over the place. But they're not hearing anything from the pulpit to give them the reasoning and the biblical foundation to stand strong.
It really is a shame. And I believe that that's changing. We are seeing with this bill in California that the church that has not taken a stand previously on issues politically is starting to stand up and say, wait a minute, it is our job as spiritual leaders to inform our people as to what is coming at them. And we just cannot be silent anymore. Too much is being taken away. Massachusetts, I believe it was, just tried to pass an AB 2943 type law the other day. It failed only because they couldn't all get their story straight on what they want. But it was going to take It was going to declare child abuse for any parent to offer, therapy to their child that was dealing with any kind of gender confusion or same-sex attraction. Child abuse. So we're talking about the government trying to take away my child if I'm trying to actually get to the bottom of the issue for why my child felt that way. You do realize that many cases, more than half of the cases at least, there is some kind of abuse that's happened that formulated the same-sex attraction.
Right.
And so we're trying to get to the bottom and help our child, and the government coming in and trying to possibly even take your child away. That's the times that we're headed into. It is time for the church to stand up and start protecting the values, even in the political landscape. And equiptolove.com represents my ministry. That's where we're trying to resource church people, people that have had experience, with homosexuality themselves or dealing with it, or a family member, and also like church leadership.
Amen, Ken. And I I just appreciate you, what you're doing, and I appreciate you taking time to be with us on Washington Watch here today. Thank you so much. God bless you and your work. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bless you, too.
Wow. And, you know, there are pastors that are standing in the gap. It's not every church or every pastor, and a lot of pastors affected and associated with FRC that are watchmen on the wall, and we're seeing that. But if you're concerned about, oh, I don't want to get political, there's ways to do it without getting political. Just preach the gospel. I mean, it'll take you where you need to go. Hey, give me a call, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. You're listening to Washington Watch. Russ Jones here, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Would love to hear from you. Wow, I had a big lineup here today. Lots of meaty, heavy material. And in this situation in Chicago, it's just one of our great cities, and it's so disturbing and disheartening to see the violence and the shooting that's going on here. And as I've mentioned on here before, you know, I grew up in Kansas City, went to a high school in the center of town, an urban school, and we figured it out. We learned to do the relational dance and got to work it out. And you know, it wasn't, some days it just wasn't very pretty. And Father God, we just need your blessing. We need your movement, and we need your hand over Chicago and our nation. And Father, I thank you for folks like Dr. Wallace, who's there in the gap. And Father, I just pray for the legislators there that they would follow your leading. And Father, turn these gang members, turn them away from that life, and turn them to you. You have a new gang for them. It's the Christian Fellowship and the Fellowship of the Saints and the people that have walked before them, Father. I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Give us a call. I would love to hear from you. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Kirsten in Pennsylvania. Kirsten, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, it's Kirsten, number one.
Kirsten, oh, thank you. Okay.
Yep. So I have two things. The first one is, and I want to start this because I don't want to be rude, and I don't want you to feel like I'm you know, surprising you. I don't agree with a lot of what you're saying right now, mm-hmm. but I have two things that just kind of struck me while I was listening to the conversation. And the first one was, speaking to the gentleman that you were just on with, there was language used that kind of surprised me, and it was that when you were sitting in the pew and you were listening to the sermon, that you didn't hear the pastor that was speaking attacking some of the things that you're hearing that you don't agree with. And I have to wonder if that's something that the church would look at as being a positive thing, to attack something that they don't agree with, as opposed to bringing forward. I did appreciate what you said in the end, was that if you just simply preach the gospel, that the word will get out, that you don't have to get political. You can just preach the gospel. But then prior to that, the comment seemed to be very, you know, if you're not attacking, if you're not saying something political from the pulpit, then you're doing it wrong. And that just confused me a little bit. Can you speak to that?
Well, oftentimes there are issues that people come to church with, and they're seeing it all over the news, but it's not addressed from the pulpit. And not every issue needs to be addressed from the pulpit. What I'm just trying to say is there are opportunities to equip the saints and say, hey, this is an issue going on in our culture, and there are issues that are causing confusion, especially for many of our young people, and here's what the gospel has to say about it. And that's not being political. That's just saying, look, this is the perspective of the Bible, and this is what it means to live that out in our communities. So, you know, I hear great sermons. They're wonderful sermons. Sometimes I think it's appropriate to talk about kind of the elephant in the room. That's what I meant.
Okay, because it just didn't, like I said, when I started listening and I was hearing things like, why aren't you attacking this from the pulpit? And that's one of my pet peeves. Everywhere on social media, people are, you know, they use words like this person's getting attacked or this person's getting destroyed. And I just, it's something that I've always found to be kind of sensationalistic. It's a lot of sensationalism being put out there that somebody's being attacked and somebody's being bullied when they're not being bullied or being shamed or, you know, all these buzzwords that are being put out there. And I was surprised to hear somebody speak about using the church as a way to attack something.
Well, replace the word attack with tackle, confront, discuss.
Okay.
I mean, whatever word you would like to replace.
Well, and I appreciate that because that's the first thing that struck me when I listened to it is why aren't we attacking this? And it made it feel like it was coming from a very negative place. And it was just a surprise to me. So the other thing that you spoke of right after that, when you were you're in your narrative by yourself, when I think the other gentleman hung up, was you saying that people should be involved and people saying, well, I don't want to get political. And you saying, well, you don't necessarily have to get political. If the church is going to, like you said, start standing their ground and start inserting themselves into Washington, in my case, Harrisburg, I live in a capital city. When churches start doing that, don't you think then that the question needs to be raised about tax-exempt status for churches if churches want to begin to start making laws?
Well, that's one of those myths that are out there that try to silence the church, actually, in my opinion. There is so much that pastors can say. There's so much that churches can do, and that Family Research Council is all about giving tools and resources to equip pastors. And a lot of times the issues that are in Scripture, they may seem political, but that's coming from the left, quite frankly, and you know, tax-exempt status, that's a whole another issue that we've heard Tony discuss here any number of times, and the Johnson Amendment and whatnot that tries to silence the voice of the church. So that's what I would have to say about that. We've got other people, Kirsten, that I need to move on to. Let's go to David in Oklahoma. Hey, David.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I'm 28. I'm from Oklahoma, and I was just listening. And, you know, personally, I have been delivered from homosexuality at the age of 24, and I had dealt with it from the age of 5. And what the government is doing now, it's time to take a stand against that because, you know, God wants us to live a holy life, and I believe it's great that what you guys are doing, and they should not be able to tell people, you know, that they cannot bring their child in for therapy whenever, you know, I believe that is their right to do that. And a question that I had was, would it go against the churches as well? Would the pastors be held legally responsible, like if a parent brought their child in that was dealing with same-sex attraction?
Yeah, well, and I've got to cut you off there because we're out of time, David. But yes, if that bill went into effect, essentially anybody providing counseling or resources that challenge that lifestyle would be held accountable by the law. Thank you. Sorry, Ricky and Curtis. My apologies that we didn't get to you here today. And I leave you with this Proverbs: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. The waters don't rise and the Lord tarries. We'll see you tomorrow.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.